We've spoken a lot about perseverance. And it's true that more people fail in their objectives through a lack of willingness to persevere than through lack of talent. So we can see why perseverance is so important. But it's much easier to keep going through something if we know that we only have to survive until a certain date. It's much harder when issues are open-ended and we simply don't know if something is ever going to change or open up. John had no idea how long he was going to be on Patmos, any more than Elijah did when God directed him to camp beside the brook Cherith during a time of drought. And it's by no means always obvious whether certain difficulties that we experience prove to be permanent losses. It's only too easy to convince ourselves that all is lost when everything in reality may not be. The mind plays tricks. Or we desperately hope that something that is in fact permanent may only prove to be a temporary blip. Now, you wouldn't expect to give up driving because of a road accident, and neither should we give up when definitive changes really have happened. Breakdown of trust in a relationship, for example, for which there is no easy resolution. The quicker we are to embrace the reality of the new situation, the less profound the grieving process is likely to be, and the more rapid our recovery. No wonder the writer of the Hebrews spells it out. You need to persevere, so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive all that He has promised. And in these next sections, I want to look in more detail at the effect on our emotions that the changes we go through during Patmos times may have on us. And we can take heart from the fact that the Lord who rescued Elijah when the Cherith brook dried up, and who ultimately brought John off Patmos, has not changed his mind about us just because we happen to find ourselves in a wilderness situation. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in power, and you will prophesy and be changed into a different person. And if you find yourself tempted to feel, I deserve better than this, I don't deserve this, just remember Andrew Murray's words, that all the steps of God lead downwards. Patmos really feels like promotion at the time, and this can hit our self-esteem. But God only narrows John's life down on Patmos, just as he did for Jesus on the cross, in order to open everything up much wider. We need to adjust to the changes that are happening. And just as there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, so we need grace to adjust to the change of pace that Patmos involves. But all that can be shaken is being shaken. And I'm talking about Patmos in this context primarily in terms of loss. Depending on our personality type and our faith levels, when we go through really difficult changes, it can take us longer to adjust to the new realities than we think it ought to, and certainly far longer than other people think it ought to. Shakespeare was so right when he said that everyone can master a grief, except the one who's suffering from it. We can't afford to start taking on other people's misconceptions as well as our own pain. The young David faced the turmoil of a huge Patmos experience when his erstwhile employer, King Saul, became so jealous of him that he chased him out of town at the end of a point of a spear. David lost his wife, and with it his whole role in life. And we don't necessarily feel the intensity of that situation because we know what happened next, but he was living right in the midst of it at the time, and he had to make a base for himself in the wilderness at Adullam's cave. Ponder how David coped, cooped up in a cave at Adullam. Would you be able to do what he did and strengthen himself in the Lord at Ziklag, when even his own people turned on him and threatened to stone him. In many ways, he feared much better then than he did during a second Patmos experience that came years later when his own son Absalom chased him out of Jerusalem in a desperate attempt to kill him and replace him. And David was so fixated on the loss of his own son that he came perilously close to being unable to function at all, and Joab had to recall him urgently to his duty. Praise God for people who stand alongside us as such goads. Think of Daniel too and his young friends when they were deported to Babylon, in effect their Patmos experience, and the huge lifestyle changes that involved. Daniel could so easily have become an angry and rebellious young man, resenting the Babylonians, despising their culture, and feeling that his life was ruined, and deep down blaming God for it all. Instead, as we know, he made the very best of the situation and was so greatly used by the Lord. What can we learn from Daniel about rising above the seemingly limiting circumstances that Patmos-like experiences impose on us? But if we handle it wrongly, Patmos can be a time when we endlessly berate ourselves. If only I hadn't done this. If only the other thing hadn't happened, then this would never have happened. And we get locked into the past. Just imagine if you're walking along, looking over your shoulder the whole time. At the very best, it'll slow you down and give you a stiff neck. At worst, you'll end up bumping into lampposts. Now, it isn't always easy to know when something is a genuine distraction that needs to be resisted, as opposed to one of God's significant interruptions. When Jesus set out to respond to Jairus' impassioned appeal to come and heal his dying daughter, a woman who had suffered bleeding for 12 years thrust herself forward and touched the edge of his cloak. And if Jesus was anything like us, he might have been inclined to think, well, she's had that condition for 12 years. Can't he wait a few hours? I'm on an important mission. But he dealt with the interruption with compassion, and as we all know, healed the woman and then raised the little girl from the dead. May the Lord help us to know whether we are in a Patmos situation that we need to pray ourselves out of, or whether this is actually God coming in disguise. Don't dwell too long on questions that you just simply can't get answers for. Don't allow house room for the but what ifs and the if onlys, because those dreary refrains can just take over the depths of our heart. It's a matter of taking every thought captive. Father, as a deliberate act of the will, help us to turn away from pointless inner dialogues that you and we both know from much experience will lead us nowhere. Help us to catch ourselves whenever we find ourselves rehearsing conversations in our heads with the people who've been the cause of our grief, or with people who we really want to influence for that matter either. Lead us on from where we are, reweaving threads so skillfully that when we look back on them we can say, there truly is no second best in your kingdom. You've done all things well. Thank you that 99% of our life and far more still lies ahead of us in eternity. That one plus you is still a majority, and that you're still planning and shaping the future for us. When things aren't working out as we'd hoped for, it's vital not to twist events and manipulate people to get our own way. Real evil is done and havoc is caused when we do this. And it's as foolish and as wrong as when car thieves weld bits of two busted cars together. Apart from being illegal, there are always marks left at the join which weaken the whole structure. But when the Lord joins two broken but humble people together for his own purposes, now that's powerful. In all this, what the enemy is doing is trying to target our trust levels and make us reluctant to go forward. Whereas the Lord is wanting to strengthen us to function in the darkness, to throw off the dark thoughts that assail us, and to trust Him at the very deepest level. I love the Message version of the well-known passage of Philippians 4. Don't fret or worry. Instead, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. If all things work together for good in the Lord, then perhaps it will help to look on our difficulties more as stepping stones rather than as boulders that threaten to overwhelm us. It may sound harsh to say that worry is a sin, so let's try it the other way round and say, it's not a sin not to worry. Because worrying is like driving with one foot on the brake. But faith is crying out for God to turn our disappointments into His appointments. And the memory of past encouragements can strengthen us through our times on Patmos, in Adullam's cave, in Babylon, or like Moses out in the desert with the grazing sheep. It says in Psalm 112 that a righteous man will be remembered forever. He'll have no fear of bad news, because his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. But I remember once spending a whole week dreading what bad news I was going to hear after reading that verse, which was the complete opposite of what the Lord had intended. Hope is such a psychological and emotional necessity that it's important to maintain a healthy view of the future. Most mental illnesses, and most listlessness for that matter, have at their root a fear of what may happen in the future. Now, if you're in the middle of a Patmos situation, or you know others who are, lift them to the Lord now and declare with St. Paul, I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. People on Patmos need our encouragement. They thrive on it. We need to go out of our way to give it, to be extravagant in our praise, to give them the comfort of our presence. And when compliments and encouragements come our own way, savour them to the full. Resist the temptation to think, if only he or she knew what I was really like, they wouldn't say such things, or if they knew how awful circumstances really were. But the Lord does know. Who would He have you go out of your way to encourage today?